Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Heavy metal day. A subject, it's a little more complicated, guys, than we normally discuss, but I know I can get you there because it's just so important to understand these issues that abound about the heavy metals. I mean mercury. I mean radioactive metals like strontium-90. I've seen clients in the past that have had issues related to uranium poisoning. So anything from mercury, lead, cadmium, arsenic, tin, aluminum, uranium, strontium-90. Metals abound. It's not just the fish. We should be more concerned about the air we breathe and metals than the fish we eat. Metals are everywhere. I don't think really the issue is as much how to stay away from them as what to do in a routine way to get them out of your body. So I want to put the heavy metals in a category of what, in an ideal world, we would assay or measure on a physical exam every single year. I want to propose to you that, occupationally speaking, anybody under high exposure, anybody in construction, anybody in auto mechanics, your hairdressers, anybody working in industry, anybody living in particularly polluted areas, in an ideal world, we would be measuring your heavy metal content every single year. Because we know that these metals bioaccumulate. So I'm going to introduce a word, bioaccumulate. It means they add up. It means they don't get out of your body as fast as they go in. It means they bind into your brain, into your spinal cord, into your kidneys, into your bone marrow. They go places you don't want them to go. And the point is, conservative allopathic medicine is only designed to measure the acute exposures. So you got to understand, when you get your physical exam every single year at Kaiser, wherever you go, they're not interested in the chronic bioaccumulation of heavy metal. They would be interested in acute toxicity. So certainly, as children, remember when the thermometer broke, when we had the mercury thermometer, and you accidentally touched that little bead of inorganic mercury rolling on the floor, and your mom saw you, and this was a commotion. Certainly, a toxicity in that moment is understood. But we're talking about a different animal. I'm going to talk largely about mercury today because this is such a huge topic, but I want to get to you some fundamental principles as only so you can functionally, in your day-to-day, understand how to look at this issue. We're talking about organic mercury, meaning mercury attached to a carbon atom. Methyl mercury. And a methyl group is a carbon and three hydrogens that finds a way to attach to a mercury atom. And methyl mercury is certainly vaporized in your dental amalgams. And that's an old story. I'm not going to get into that. We all know that those silver fillings vaporize to methyl mercury, and that methyl mercury distributes throughout the body brain, kidneys, so on and so forth. That's an old story. That's a true story. Get those things out. Put the ceramics in, the resins in. But that's not this show. This show is for you to understand a deeper perspective on how to look at the heavy metal issue and what to do about it. Fish. Fish is another source of methylmercury. And there we'll talk about fish hopefully later today. Some fishes are quite clean. Some fishes are a little bit more problematic. And other fishes don't eat. But the point is when we talk about mercury, we're talking about an atom that's got a powerful effect, and here's where the science comes in, so you got to really dig deep on this. When you ingest, let's say you make the mistake of dining on shark one night, or you have swordfish, and that's swordfish, so let's trace the flow of mercury in the body. So you go out, you're on vacation, you have a good large piece of swordfish, and you get mercury into your body. When that mercury gets to the cell, does something I think you're going to find fascinating. It interrupts the electron transport chain in the mitochondria of the cell. Now, the mitochondria is a little powerhouse inside every single cell of your body. And this mitochondria, this organelle, produces adenosine triphosphate, ATP. And ATP is effectively the currency of the cell. ATP gives a piece of itself, a phosphate group. It gives a piece of itself to a bunch of compounds to move them around so that they can bind correctly. So when we say the currency of the cell, when we say the amount of ATP produced in the mitochondria, the interest there is, and this is what I want you to get a pictorial on, is that the ATP is like the strong man in the body. It comes up to two independent chemical compounds, and it moves them into position. It provides the energy or the force to move those two other atoms into position so they can bind. All chemical reactions are simply about the attraction between molecules. But that attraction is built into their juxtaposition to each other. You can't have a chemical reaction unless you have the right spatial orientation of the atoms or molecules involved. To create that spatial orientation, we make something called an enzyme. But to make an enzyme, we have to have the force or the energy behind it, and that's why we have ATP. So when we say ATP is the currency or the power of the cell, it's basically the money, the muscle to put atoms in right positions for correct binding. Now, this ATP is produced in a fascinating way, in the mitochondria, where you have six or seven little islands, little compounds, all sitting next to each other. And there is an electron transfer, a negative charge, an electron transfer across a line of independent compounds. And as these electrons go across these independent compounds, it pushes the hydrogen atoms, H pluses, into a corral. So you can picture this. Picture six circles all next to each other in a line, and picture each circle in a relay race, transferring electrons from the first circle to the last circle. And as those electrons, those negative charges, are transferred, we corral, we put into a cage all these positive charges called H plus charges, hydrogen ions. And when we get enough hydrogen ions corralled into the cage, the pressure inside the cage builds and builds, and finally, by the time that electron is transferred to the sixth circle, all those hydrogen ions push out of their cage. And as they run out like horses out of a corral, an electromagnetic field is generated. A magnetic field is generated. And that's how we make adenosine triphosphate. ATP is produced as a product of electron transfer, hydrogen ion concentration, and the electromagnetic field produced as all those ions burst out of their corral. And this all goes on in the mitochondria. And then that ATP goes out and tells everything, gives everything the power or the muscle to do what it needs to do. Now, the problem is, if mercury's in the cell, mercury sees this electron transport chain, and to keep it simple, it breaks it down. It interferes with it. Instead of getting the relay race of electrons across those compounds to produce the ATP off that magnetic field, mercury sticks a wrench into that circuit. And instead of producing ATP, you produce free radicals. You produce hydroxy ions. You produce an oxygen attached to a hydrogen that's very hungry for electrons. So when we say free radical, antioxidants quench free radicals. When we say free radical, we always mean there's millions of types in the body, but we always mean a compound, a collection of atoms forming a molecule, or even smaller than that, just an atom that's electron deficient. It's looking to take an electron away from something else, which can really mess up a lot of things in your body. So when we have mercury off that swordfish getting into your cell, which it's not supposed to get, your body's supposed to take that mercury out, and we'll get into that. A strong body isn't going to have too much of this problem. And we'll get into that later. But that mercury that gets into that cell is going to create, by interfering with that transfer of electrons, it's going to stop the ATP production, which is what we mean by lowering the cell energy. When you hear things like CoQ10 bring up the cell energy, do this to increase your cell energy, this antioxidant increases your cell energy, what we're talking about is increasing versus decreasing the production of adenosine triphosphate, ATP, the muscle man of the cell, the enforcer. So when that mercury gets into the cell, it's going to ultimately create free radicals instead of ATP. And that hydroxy radical, then, is not created in a one-to-one ratio. This is another thing you've got to understand. What happens with Parkinson's, with Alzheimer's, with cancers, with all these neurodegenerative diseases is it's like a match being set to a forest in the middle of the driest part of the summer. And if you just set that match, an explosion occurs. It's not one atom of mercury creates one hydroxy radical. It's one atom of mercury may create thousands of hydroxy radicals. This initiation is like a forest fire. It's potentiated. It's not the one-to-one. It's 10 to the N. You got to understand that. This is what makes mercury and some of these other metals so deadly. They work exponentially in the negative direction. So we make these hydroxy radicals, these free radicals, looking for electrons. And if we don't do something about that in the cell, the whole cell will die. Those hydroxy radicals, unsupervised, unquenched, will destroy the cell. You would have massive cell necrosis. But of course, the body's evolved with many, many, many ways to fight back. And the way we fight back, and this is what the whole of metals is going to revolve around, is the word glutathione. three amino acids put together in a compound called glutathione. Your cells produce it. Every cell in the body produces it, especially in the liver. So the mercury comes in, interrupts the electron transport chain to the rescue for these free radicals, these OHs that are produced is glutathione. Glutathione quenches the free radical. It puts out the fire immediately. Glutathione, which is produced in every cell of your body, eats and destroys. It doesn't eat, it destroys. It dismembers your viruses. Those lethal viruses that sneak through the membrane of the cell because they're so tiny. Glutathione rips them apart. Glutathione, three amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Three amino acids, tiny little molecule, produced in every single cell, takes apart and quenches those hydroxy radicals that the mercury makes. Well, that should be the end of the story. And it should be a grand story. And if you're strong and healthy, then it is a grand story. Because then we don't have to worry about heavy metals. If we had all the glutathione we needed to quench all the free radicals produced by mercury, we wouldn't have a problem. It would basically be a dead subject in medicine. But there's a twist to this. Chemicals can be sneaky. And in the case of the heavy metals, mercury in particular, the very same glutathione that quenches those OH radicals is the very same glutathione that pushes the mercury back out of the cell. The mercury bound into your brain cells. The mercury bound into your spinal cord. The mercury bound into your kidney cells, into your heart cells, into your bone marrow. Each of those cells uses glutathione to push the mercury out. So glutathione is being competed with. It's got so many jobs to do, but it's being competed with, say in the case of metals, it's being competed with by its job where it has to quench the OH radicals that the mercury makes. And then it's got to, on top of it, throw the mercury out. So you do what? You exhaust. You exhaust the concentration of glutathione in the cell. You start to run out of glutathione. You can't produce it. It's being called to fight the viruses. It's being called to fight the free radical OHs. It's being called to throw the mercury out of the cell, the cadmium, the uranium, the strontium, the tin, the aluminum. It's being called to do an endless number of things. This powerful, vital molecule becomes exhausted in its production. So the mercury can't get out of the cell. So now the mercury bioaccumulates in the cell. That's the catch-22. If the mercury would just produce its hydroxy radicals and then just leave the cell, something else would take it out. We wouldn't have this problem. But it's a catch-22. So mercury, other metals, they're smart. They're chemically intelligent. They're dangerous because they bring these twists, these poetic ironies, in a sense, and they present the cell with special challenges. So mercury builds up in the cell. And free radicals build up in the cell, the hydroxy radicals. And then finally, all these hydroxy radicals signal programmed cell death. You want to know where your Parkinson's is coming from, your Alzheimer's, your different assorted neurodegenerative conditions, your autism? Understand this little segment. The last 10 minutes is it in a nutshell. It's simple. It's powerful. And it's functional. Because it's effectively teaching you what antioxidants are about. Antioxidants like DHLA, that marvelous compound that Premier Research Lab that Dr. Marshall's produced, dihydrolipoic acid. Even lipoic acid, but better, DHLA, dihydrolipoic acid. Recycles the glutathione, recycles the CoQ10, recycles the antioxidants. When we say antioxidant, we're really saying quench free radical. Because if you get the cell hit by enough free radical, as in the case of heavy metal toxicity, the DNA in that cell, the brains of that cell, looks at it all and presses the wrong button. And that wrong button is kill the cell. Now that's a message that can start to spread like wildfire. And once you trip your genes in the wrong direction, you rot out that piece of your brain or bone marrow or whatever you want to choose. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. You may have to listen to this again. That's okay. If you guys can master the computers, you can master this. If you put half the time into this that we've put into learning computers, how they work, how they break, and what to do about them, you can get deeper into this. Or come to my school, the Medici Institute for Advanced Nutritional Education. Not expensive, not even that time consuming. Every 6 weeks, I'm running three classes now simultaneously. We can make a fourth. Just call into the center. Talk to Annika or Catalina, 310-320-1132. It's Annika or Catalina, 310-320-1132. Hear this show again on straighttalk.cc. All right, so we've introduced the real danger of heavy metal poisoning. Is that you? How would you know if it is? Guess what? Just assume that it is. To live in society today and to think that you're exempt from this is not the right choice. To think that you're in terrible danger of it and that if you don't address this within the next week or two, the world will end, that's nonsense also. And some people are going to have more of an issue than others, and we'll get into that. But the functional concept, and again, this is what the show is about, the functional concept for you is to understand that in the list of imperatives, in the list of imperatives of things you need to do, you take the steps to keep the metals out or get the metals out. It's just on the list. This ought to be on the physical exam at Kaiser. We ought to be measuring the amount of reduced glutathione available to the cell. We ought to have some sense of the amount of free radical damage to the cell, and we'll get into that in a moment. This should be what your medical doctors are continually trying to address. The amount of available reduced glutathione to put out the free radicals, the free radical fire. How you could be a construction worker, an auto mechanic, a hairdresser, working in industry, living in smog-filled polluted areas where the sky is brown next to industry sites and not have this part of standard organized medicine is a mistake. And again, I'm not going to fault anybody, any medical doctors listening to the show. You are not at fault. And I want the public to ask you to look in to the notions of bioaccumulation. This isn't simply about greed. This is simply about lack of education and perception. Acute toxicities of heavy metals are understood. You can get poisoned tomorrow, walk into your local toxicologist, and that medical doctor will take care of you. But bioaccumulating multiple metals, all integrating in micro amounts over the years to critical mass and creating any one of a million different problems, that's not really studied enough. It's not understood enough, and yet it's real. See the work of Dr. Boyd Haley. Boyd, B-O-Y-D, H-A-L-E-Y. He's all over YouTube. Very educated, credentialed biochemist. See the work of Dietrich Klinghardt, MD, PhD, and all his functional work treating people over the years for what he considered the ravages of heavy metal toxicities. There's lots of this in science for you to understand. All right. Now, glutathione. Glutathione functions in a very interesting way in the liver. In your liver, which is the filter for all the garbage that gets into your blood, which once your cell excretes its baloney, its garbage, its dead tissue, its whatever, tons of it goes to the liver. And the liver goes through a process that's very glutathione involved and dumps it into the biliary system, and then you defecate it out of your body. Once again, a real good reason to have good bile flow. No gallbladder, how does it get out? The body will send it to the kidney. Heavy metals, 80, 90% of all your heavy metals are excreted through the biliary system, not the kidney. You can say that confidently. 80, 90% of all the heavy metals are excreted through the biliary system, which means your bowels, which means you defecate out those metals that you inhaled on the bus today or in the air or that you brought into your body at 50 times the concentration because you were sprinting on the track for 3 miles in a smoggy part of Los Angeles. Those metals that you are bringing in are being defecated out of your body. A minimal amount. The body's not designed for the kidneys to take this hit. If the kidneys have to take the hit off the heavy metals, the kidneys will die. And for you chelators out there, for those of you who have bought into chelation therapy to bring the metal out, much of which comes out through the kidney then, please be careful. If you have to do it, and I don't suggest it, but I'll leave this to the medical authorities, your medical supervisor, your medical doctor, whoever it might be that's involved in chelating out your metal through chelation therapy, be careful of your kidneys. Make sure it's done slowly, gradually, because the body wasn't designed to take metal out the kidney. But I really bring it up because if you don't have good biliary function, that's where it's going to shift to. If you don't have good biliary function, lest you don't have a gallbladder, what do you think happens? Now, there's a functional concept. Again, you're going to hear me harp continually on functional concepts. Here's the concept. When you don't have the liver or the gallbladder working well or having it at all, the body's got to send it out another way. The secondary or tertiary pathways for all sorts of problems in the body are more costly. If you run out of vitamin C or vitamin B, the body has compensatory pathways, but they're very costly. If you run out of oxygen for your muscles, well, you can still use those muscles, but then you make lactic acid. So the secondary or tertiary pathway is costly. It's a functional concept. The repercussion of not understanding that is to say, oh, well, I don't need my gallbladder because I'll be just fine. You understand that? Catch that. It's a critical functional concept. It asks you to deepen your perception of the reality of medicine. When you're told you don't need your gallbladder or your spleen or your ovaries, ladies, in a sense, it's correct. You don't need them to live. But the cost of forcing the body into secondary compensatory pathways is very costly. You don't need oxygen. We've got all sorts of ways to make the body function when you have anemia in oxygen-deficient environments. If your hemoglobin is 10 instead of 12, well, that's not good, but don't worry about it. We might not even mention it if it's 11, because the body's got secondary pathways. Every secondary pathway costs you. And when your body is employing enough or a multitude of secondary pathways, the cumulative effect is disastrous. Just like if you have a little strontium 90 and a little uranium and a little aluminum and a little arsenic and a little cadmium and a little lead and a little mercury, guess what? We're fine. No, we're not. We're going to exhaust our glutathione reserves. And then the body is left defenseless as far as what it takes to denature poisons that hit the liver. Because back to the main point now, in the liver, in the hepatocyte, that liver cell produces a ton of glutathione. It's known to produce a lot of glutathione because glutathione binds to a critical enzyme. Enzyme P is in Paul 450. And P450 is a critical enzyme in the liver cell, the hepatocyte, bound by glutathione, involving the transferase enzyme also. And what this does is it just conjugates the mercury. Conjugates, it binds it up. So the liver hangs out there, this big, brown, heavy organ, the bulldog, the pit bull of the body, with its glutathione produced at many times the levels of other parts of your body, and rightly so, because it works in conjunction with enzyme P450 and the transferase enzyme, and collectively they just suck out, pull out all the dangerous heavy metal in the body. If you're born with a strong liver, you have no problem with heavy metals. If you're born with a strong liver, you have no problem with anything. That's the guy that eats McDonald's late at night, that works in industry, that still lives to 90. Maybe hacked up, bent over, in pain. Not a vibrant 90, but they make it all the way. That liver, when we say the powerhouse of the body, the will of the body, the driving force of the body. We're talking about the organ that keeps your body clean, and it's all glutathione dependent. If you're genetically made, and there are tests to test this, another test, an expensive test, a test that should be run once before you're 20 years old would be a test to see if you're just one of those people, genetically speaking, and the tests are available, that produces a lot of glutathione, whose liver capacities, the conjugative ability, the ability of the liver to produce the chemicals like glutathione necessary to bind up poisons, to keep you free of all your occupational poisons. Some are good at it and some aren't. To know who you are by the age of 20 years old, that you, your parents, whoever, would have paid for one of these tests that are available today. Add that to the physical exam. Now think about that. Think about a physical exam. In fact, I think what we're going to do pretty soon is make our own physical exam. Next show, we'll create a physical exam, the physical exam that you should really have. And on that physical exam, once in your life, just so you know who you are, should be the test, the genetic testing, and we'll bring the labs in that'll do these tests, to determine whether or not you've got a powerful glutathione-producing conjugative liver. Because if you're not good at it, and you just happen to work in the wrong industry, you're the person at 30 years old, at 40 years old, that collapses. And I've seen nutritionally, of course, many of these people. Many nutritional consults with people like this, who are just moseying along and hit a wall. And they don't get up. It's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years later. And when you measure the total glutathione levels in the body, they're low. Now, we have labs. One lab is called Geneva Labs. Geneva Labs, you can look them up. They're in conjunction with a company called Metametrics. And they'll measure the amount of glutathione in the body, blood glutathione. Now, that's not a perfect measurement, but it's a real clue. And if you're under supervision or not, if you're just doing something for your health and that number goes up. So understand, again, critical clinical pearl. Many of these tests that are chemically oriented, like the amount, like you say and explain, glutathione is important. The question becomes, who's got a lot of it? Who produces a little bit of it? Whose is being used up? Whose isn't being used up? You take this basic biochemical information and you try to translate it into a function. A lab test through Geneva Labs. You tell your medical doctor. If you got a good relationship with a medical doctor, they will understand total blood levels of glutathione. Unfortunately, it's too difficult to distinguish between reduced glutathione, which is the usable one, and oxidized. If you really want to stretch it a little bit, reduced means it's got extra electrons to give away. So if the glutathione is reduced, it's going to give its electrons to something else to quench it. Just take a moment. Do this with me. If you've got a hydroxy radical, right? Remember we said it's produced and it's dangerous. It's looking for electrons. If it doesn't find electrons, it's going to eat your cell. It's like an angry bear at a campsite. It's hungry. It doesn't want to eat your children. It just wants food. And you throw it some electrons, and it goes away and it's happy. Well, that's what that hydroxy radical is. And if you've got glutathione reduced, it means the reduced glutathione has those electrons to give. That's a gift. And then the free radical is quenched. So reduced glutathione is the usable glutathione. The glutathione without electrons, that glutathione is not usable. We can't measure the difference between the two in the blood, not in a cost-effective way. But if you've got the total amount of it, and that total amount of it increases, you can start to get some insight into how well the body's doing. Now, there's a test. A second test is called the porphyrin test. And there's a lab called Mayo Labs. Again, when you run these tests, you've got to get a user-friendly relationship with your medical doctor or your holistic doctor. And they can contact these labs, and then you'll go have the blood drawn at some of the subsets, some of the subsidiaries of these major labs. And then the results will be sent to the doctor that ordered the test. These tests are available. It's called the porphyrin test. And it measures coproporphyrin 3. C-O-P-R-O. Coproporphyrin. P-O-R-P-H-Y-R-I-N. Coproporphyrin 3. That's a measurement of how much exposure the cell has had to mercury and other heavy metals. So you got two tests. And again, the concept is what? The concept is to determine, just how much of your glutathione is being produced and how much of your glutathione is being used. How much heavy metal has your body been exposed to? That's the porphyrin test. How much metal you have in your body could also be measured in this DMSA challenge. Now, this is a trickier test. Only medical doctors can do this test, and you've got a lot of holistic medical doctors that will do it for you. And they give you a chemical, and that's okay. That chemical will leach out. This is not chelation therapy. If you're thinking this is chelation therapy, it's not. This is a test. Chelation therapy is a therapy. But this is a test. If my dad was a 60-year-old auto mechanic, and he didn't believe in any of this, I would sure want him to do this test. If you do the DMSA challenge, we call it, you ingest a chemical, that chemical takes out heavy metals from many parts of your body. Not necessarily the deepest parts of your body. And again, some people say this test is not the thing to do. At this point, you're getting into very serious, hard science. Complicated biochemistry. Worthy of more research. But I will tell you that doctors that have worked 3-4 decades, medical doctors in the field of heavy metal toxicity, will use this test. It still doesn't make it risk-free. Because if you take out, even to test, too much metal too fast, a lot of it's going to go where? It's going to come out the kidney. And if it comes out the kidney, it can hurt your kidney. Now, rarely are you going to have this problem with the DMSA challenge. In chelation therapy, you can get very hurt. I'm going to go on record saying with chelation therapy, you've got to be very careful that it's not done too aggressively. If there's any issue in renal function, if your GFR is even a little low, your doctor's got to make sure he's on top of that. And they have to low dose you, if even treat you at all. But to know how much metal you've got with a DMSA challenge is for the most part risk-free. And if you excrete through your urine levels of metal, you've got a baseline. And then if you begin to take the second part, the action part, the therapy, and we'll discuss that in a second, and you take another DMSA challenge, and you see that there's more metal this time being excreted, what do you conclude? You conclude you're starting to mobilize your metals. That's functional medicine. If you just take a measurement of it and leave it alone, that's open to a lot of interpretation. You might say that what's coming out of your body doesn't fully enough reflect what's stuck inside your body, what won't come out. You can have interpretation problems with a DMSA challenge. But I bring it up as another valid test because it's built into therapy. If we see the amount of available mercury, et cetera, in your urine, and then you start doing therapy, and we'll get to that, well, then 6 months later, if we see 3 months later, lots more come out in the urine, it tells you the therapy's working. It tells you you're mobilizing metals. So you've got total blood glutathione, you've got the porphyrin test, you've got the DMSA challenge. Okay, so you decided you wanted to do something about it. Keep in mind, a healthy person is going to trap the metal in the gut because the mucus lining is strong. If you've got a thick, strong, repleted, large intestine with lots of healthy, bountiful, clean mucus, you're going to trap the metal and defecate it out. If you've got a strong liver, your glutathione production is going to be high. If you have biliary patency, remember, it gets back, show number 20 on the website. if that bile's moving, the minute that metal comes in, it goes out. If you're defecating, if you're not constipated, when that metal gets into your intestine, it goes out. But if you're constipated, if you're going to the bathroom every 3 days, that metal's in there that you just ate from that swordfish, guess what? It goes into your blood because it's sitting there in your intestines. If you don't have the raw fats, all those omega-3s we talked about, all those healthy, raw, organic, hormone-free fats, you can't do fat exchange. What's fat exchange? Fat exchange is when the mercury, the cadmium, the strontium-90 binds into your bone marrow, into your brain, into your spinal cord, into your liver, into your kidneys, in the fatty part of it. It needs lipid. Metals are lipid, fat soluble. So they go into where there is lipids. The cell membrane is lipid or fat. The brain is mostly fat. The bone marrow is mostly fat. So it goes there. If you feed it raw fat, if you feed your body raw fat, its intelligence connects and it starts to throw out the old fat. And with the old fat is the heavy metals. So if you're eating right and you have fat exchange, if you're defecating correctly, if you have biliary patency, if you have a strong liver with high glutathione production, if you're getting all your sulfur-based foods like buckwheat, taurine-based foods, eggs, garlic, if your mucus lining is strong because your intestines are structurally correct, if you exercise, if you sleep, if you do all the things that I put on the 70 shows, if you even employ your own version of health, understand that you're doing the therapy for heavy metal. You're doing it. That's a functional concept. I ask you to consider that functional concept. So how does it go otherwise? What's the reality otherwise? The reality otherwise is that people aren't doing these things. They're not even aware of these things like biliary patency, like fat exchange, like a strong mucus lining to trap the metal. They're not even aware of it. And they're not feeling well. And somebody does a DMSA challenge and says, oh, Mr. Smith, look at this. Mercury, and you think of mercury, mercury, what's mercury? Mercury, mercury. Oh, yeah, the thermometer, that's no good. Yeah, your body's loaded with mercury, Mr. Smith. And you need to get it out of your body because studies show that it can do a million bad things to your body. And all of a sudden, you're hooked up to an IV drip and you're doing very intense chelation therapy or whatnot, or buying $15,000 worth of products to take the metal out of your body, and all the fundamentals are being overlooked. Get it correct, gang. Whether you're working over a year, 2 years, or 5 years out of chronic illness, you are bringing up your glutathione levels. The body will rebuild its glutathione factory. Yeah, it's going to need a pinch hit. It's going to need a bump. You may need some specific therapies, but never, ever, ever overlook the importance of the 70 hours I've brought to you, or anybody anywhere has brought to you, about building up your basic general health. So understand, you have to have perspective on this. Healthy people have a huge advantage. Now, to the rescue, nature has provided us with a few wonderful solutions here. And one of them is called cilantro. The other one's called chlorella. They're different. Chlorella is a green from the ocean. It's a seagrass. And cilantro, Spanish parsley. Cilantro is a cereal grass, so to speak. Now, chlorella, number one, chlorella, which is a blood builder, and you know where to get a great chlorella. That's Premier Research Labs. A great chlorella, a clean chlorella, is a chelator. It will bind metal like a sponge, mercury, and lots of others. And cilantro, different than chlorella, will bind it in your brain. Cilantro is one of the few things in nature that will go up, cross the blood-brain barrier, and take it out of your brain. So nature's provided a couple of heavy hitters. And you can go get good grades of this stuff. And if you've got a real concern, you do it under supervision. And if you're starting to feel bad when you do it, take a vacation and don't do it. And then go back at much lower dosages. Common sense approaches. First, you've got to find clean, quality product. You know where to do that. Then you can't just do the chlorella. You got to do the cilantro. Whether you're doing chlorella or cilantro, you've got to respect the fact that neither one is more important than the fundamentals of your health. Now, if you've got a clean product, you're taking care of the fundamentals, your body's starting to throw out the metals naturally, meaning it's going to remove the metals because the body's smart. And you start bringing in cilantro and chlorella, and you increase dosages, and all of a sudden you start craving chlorella. You crave cilantro. It tastes good to you. You're not burping it up. It's not getting you sick. It's not making you extremely tired. But somehow, some current of intelligence is hitting you and making you conscious that these things are good for you. You get the prize. You have now achieved a higher bodily intelligence. And that bodily intelligence will teach you how to dose it in. And then one day, you get a fever. You're not feeling well. Your bones are aching. Your marrow is inflamed. Your brain is foggy. But underneath it all, you've connected to the righteousness of the process. That there's something deep down inside that's good about this. You get the second prize. Because you're starting to learn the difference between a healthy detox and a mistake. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no doctor anywhere that once you're connected to your body knows you better than you. If you're disconnected from your body, if your bodily IQ is low, if you haven't been through the exercises of health and primed your basic intelligence, well, then your body-centered intelligence is low and you need doctors. But at the point where you're starting to get real smart about your body, you will finesse the difference between a healthy detox and just taking too much chlorella or cilantro and mobilizing too much metal too fast. These are boosts. Chlorella, cilantro, infrared saunas, using magma clays, high doses of niacin, sweating in infrareds, mobilizing lymph with clay. Great way to move the metals. You got to be healthy enough to do it. You got to be respectful of the gradual process. This is what it comes down to. If you were a friend of mine, a family member, and you worked in industry, or you lived in places where, suppose you're 30 years old and you got the job of your life, only you're in some industrial city in China. And you're well paid, but not that well paid. But it's your first big job, and your firm has sent you to some industrial city in China. And the people are sick, and when you look in the air, you can't even see across the street. And yes, that is how it is. I'd buy myself an infrared sauna. I'd be utilizing chlorella. I'd be eating cilantro regularly. I'd be making sure my gallbladder moved bile. I'd be making sure I was defecating a few times a day. I'd be getting my blood glutathione tests and then over time seeing if the amount of glutathione in the blood was decreasing or increasing. I'd be doing all of these things. And I hope so will you. Okay, that's it, gang. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website. You're going to need to hear this one again. That's straighttalk.cc. You have a fantastic week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.